I have been touched by people who have spoken publicly about issues they're going through. And I think if I can do that for one young girl in Illinois, it's like, then it was all worth it. If I'm gonna go through all of this, like, goodness, I hope I could help someone else, because I kind of think we're here just to help each other. And if I can do that, that adds a lot of richness to my life, and I hope to someone else's.
Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by the Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, Virago Warriors, and welcome back to episode 17 with Karsta Lowe of USA Volleyball. Today's episode is an Instagram Live that Taylor had with Karsta Lowe, where she talks about her journey with mental health. Karsta opens up about her struggle with OCD and talks about, the importance of sharing her story. And I think it's really cool because she talks about how she had this great support system in place that encouraged her to get help. And I really think it's possible that this episode today could be a great turning point in encouraging someone without that support system to seek help. So thank you so much, Karsta, for sharing your story. I think it's OCD is something that you don't really hear a lot from athletes. And in general, I haven't heard much about it. So I really enjoyed this episode. You'll also hear that Karsta mentioned she's playing in Athletes Unlimited right now, and that name may sound familiar because on episode 6, Amanda Peterson also mentioned that she's playing in that league. I'm really excited for it. Amanda actually got us in contact with some of the heads of the program because they're partnering with players' charities to kind of give back. They're matching some of their bonuses. So we were in talks with them for a bit for that, and it's something we hopefully will get to do in the future. And we just want to make sure we can support them, right? So we talk all the time about how we can close that wage gap between men and women's sports. And one of those things is by supporting just by watching. Their first games are this weekend. The televised ones are the 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 2. And on the 28th, it'll be on CBS Network at 6 p.m. Eastern. And the 9 o'clock game will be on Fox Sports 1. So just check out Athletes Unlimited website on their schedule. It has where they're doing it. I personally have Twitch, so I'll be streaming all the games on Twitch that aren't televised as well. So go ahead and support them. It's going to be really interesting to see. It's kind of like if you guys follow American football at all, it is kind of like a fantasy football playoff where it's not so much distinct teams. The 44 athletes all have their individual points that they're earning to kind of be the gladiator of them all. Karsta does talk about it a little bit, but it's a really cool system. I'm excited to see how it works. They're doing it with a few other sports, lacrosse, softball, and I know they're looking to expand others. All right. So without further ado, I will bring on Taylor and Karsta. Again, it's an Instagram Live. So if you hear them talking about comments, it's just because this was a live video that people were actually commenting on. All right, here is Taylor and Karsta.
Well, okay, so for everyone who's here listening, I'm really excited to have Karsta here today. One, because I already told Karsta, we talked a few weeks ago, like I looked up to Karsta as a college volleyball player, just as like an opposite hitter. And she had obviously such a successful career at UCLA. Incredible story. For those who don't know, she walked on to UCLA. What year was it?
2011, yeah.
2011, walked on to UCLA. And by the time she was gone, ended up being like, I mean, just this outstanding player, like first team All-American. My coach was showing me video of Karsta to like imitate like her tooling off of the block and hitting the deep like backcourt. He was like, you need to do this. So like Karsta,
so sweet.
I mean, it's the truth. And I'm fangirling a little bit here. But so afterwards, you went on to play professionally in Italy, correct? And how many years in Italy?
I played a total of three seasons in Italy.
Okay. Yeah. And then you were also in the USA gym around the same time, correct?
Yeah, so the life of an indoor volleyball player is national team during the summer, and then during the year from like October to May, you're overseas in Europe or Asia.
Okay. And then 2016, Karsta was in Rio competing in the Olympics and ended up having a really successful go there. I mean, bronze medal, like that's pretty damn good for most people's standards.
Yeah, it was obviously a highlight, and I still find myself talking about it. There's people who are interested in it still today, and it was amazing, and we didn't get quite the result we wanted, but even medaling and being on the podium, we got this like Nike gear, and it was so cool. It was so dope, and it was like exclusive for the podium. And we were like, we gotta win because we gotta wear that gear. And okay, obviously, way more than that, but it was just like huge honor, even just to medal. So,
All right, and in case you guys were wondering, that's what the Olympians think about.
yeah,
Like,
it's all about the gear.
that's what the whole 4 years is about, getting the gear,
Yeah.
getting on the top. So yeah, you've had a really incredible volleyball career. I know that there are different parts of your story too that are really, really awesome and not as touched upon in the public. And maybe we can dive a little bit into those later today. But before we get started, can you just update everyone on where you're at now and what's kind of, in the future for your career, short term, maybe like the next 3 to 5 months?
Yeah, so currently I'm in the phase of, like this is go time for Tokyo 2021. Obviously, for those who don't know, the Olympics was postponed from 2020, and that was a huge adjustment for a lot of athletes. And so I made the decision to stay home and train at home. And this league that I'm playing in right now came up called Athletes Unlimited. It's in Dallas, Texas. It's about 6 weeks of competition, and it's a super novel structure. It's like individually ranked. It's kind of like fantasy league if you think about it. Like each player has their own ranking, and there will be like one victor at the end. So yeah, it's a super different format. So I'm doing that in Dallas until the end of March, and then I'll go back to Anaheim. Oh my gosh, I can see my friends are writing in on there. Sorry, I get really distracted with the comments. So yeah, and then I'll go back to California and train in Anaheim, and hopefully make the Tokyo roster.
Yeah, and fingers crossed that happens. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how they're even going to.
Yeah, it's a much different looking Olympics. I think Japan is really set on making it happen. I think if there's a country to do it, I think Japan is, good to take on the challenge, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, best of luck in that endeavor. I'll be watching Athletes Unlimited. I'm pretty sure you guys have television contracts with CBS and Fox, maybe. I don't know.
We're on Fox Sports 1 and 2, and then CBS Sports. And I know that not a lot of like TV networks get Fox 2, but I think Fox 1 is really popular. So there's like several matches streamed. So I'll be blowing up the social media channel so everyone knows to watch.
Good. I can't wait. I will be following. Okay, so we're gonna hop into this interview. We're gonna start by talking about Karsta Lo, the athlete who we just spent a ton of time talking about. And then I want to go into talking about Karsta Lo, the person, which is why you're here. Because, I feel like a lot of the time with athletes, people get so wrapped up in our identities, the player, the Olympian, the whatever, and like all of that. And sometimes we forget, like, oh, well, this is also just like a human being, just like everyone else's. So how would you describe Karsta the athlete? And I'm gonna ask 3 questions in here. Okay, so number one, what kind of athlete is Karsta?
You asked me on a terrible day. I had a really bad practice today in my eyes. I was just could not get a kill. As an athlete, I think I am a competitor. I think I have a lot of energy on the court, or I like to think so. And I like to bring the fire. I like to get people excited, and I want to win, and I love to win. people have said I kind of get this like look in my eyes where it's like the crazy eyes kind of come out, which is a little scary, I know, even for me in retrospect. But yeah, no, I'd say that's me as an athlete. I think it's definitely, you know, helped my success over the years is this kind of aggressive, like forward person. I think that can, you know, help to have that kind of energy on the court.
Yeah, I can definitely see how being a fierce competitor would help someone in, say, like being an Olympian or something like that. You know, making it
you can succeed in all types of way. Trust me, that you know, you don't have to like be the like warrior person, but it does help in some crucial moments.
Okay, so next question about Karsta the athlete. What kind of teammate is she?
Ooh. You know, I like to think I am a teammate who brings energy. You know, I like to make sure I'm giving more than I'm taking. Obviously, not always perfect at that, but I like to give more to the pot than I take. And so I try to bring fire and, you know, get excited for people. I love like a good block or like a good kill. I like to feed into that. So, you know, being a friend to my teammates, yeah, I like to, you know, get to know them and know what they're into off the court and, you know, talk about that and just shoot the bleep.
You're a teammate type woman and a good friend is what I pulled from that. And someone
sorry, you probably want like really concise terms and I'm giving you the like 10 minute version.
No, I love that. I can break down whatever you say. Someone commented to you that you're the best life teammate. So,
oh my god, that was my friend.
Yeah, I'm assuming that was a friend of yours
messing with me, but
okay, so next question about Karsta the athlete is well, you already answered this one. It's what kind of competitor is she?
Yeah, I like to think I'm a fierce competitor. I think I have a lot of competitive spirit, and I think yeah, I think it served me as an athlete. You know, I've also been told that I have like a lot of masculine energy. I don't know what that means, but yeah, I just think like, I don't know. I like to get into that space where you're really just not thinking about anything. And all your thoughts are just like in this rhythmic state where you're just like, you know, on top of the world. And I think that's the best competing I've ever done.
Not overthinking things.
Yeah.
Was the death of me as an athlete. So
yeah, we'll talk about that more.
Thank you for finding a way through that. I should have seen a sports psychologist when I was an athlete. Okay, next question. What is the biggest challenge you've been faced with on the court as an athlete?
I think, yeah, just like I said, I think of myself as like a very rhythmic player. And so I think like when I am not in that rhythm, that flow state, how can I, you know, still make gains even when I'm not there? And I think I can get very discouraged very quickly if I'm not feeling 100%. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've struggled with, and I think a lot of people do, you know, when you're having a tough day, how can you make it the best worst day?
Like with your bad practice, how did you handle that one?
I got a couple extra reps after. Just tried to remind myself, hey, you know, this is the first time you've played 6-on-6 in many, many months, and, you know, give it a couple days at least. So I think patience is key, but never been in my strong suit.
You'll be good. Okay, last question for Karsta the athlete. What are your goals for the future?
I mean, definitely to make the Tokyo roster. It's been a weird year for everyone, and that would be, you know, but I've been really working hard to stay in shape and do what I can even amidst how difficult it's been. And so to make that roster would really, you know, mean a lot and be a good capstone to this pandemic year for me. Well, I guess first, I love to win this league in Dallas and be the ultimate victor, you know, Hunger Games. So anyways, that, and then, yeah, I think a huge team goal for our, for Team USA is to win a gold. It's not been done for the women's national team. You know, it's a huge goal. We've got some big competitors, you know, China and Italy and Russia. They're no Serbia. They're no joke. They don't mess around.
True. Well, I believe in you guys. And after seeing 2016, I mean, you're right there. So, all right. So second part of this, second half of this interview is going to be focused on Karsta Lowe, the person. You are a person, you know, underneath all of this, like.
I am a person on this planet.
Exactly. Like, you grew up just, you know, normal life, like, and you happen also to be a great athlete. So first question, how would you describe Karsta Lowe, the person?
I've been, well, this is funny you ask, because I have been doing my daily affirmations. My friend, she's probably not watching, but if she is, my friend Elle got me this 5-minute journal, and it's really cute, and it, like, there's daily affirmations. And so let me just read one of these. Yeah, so it's going to be positive. Normally, I'm an overthinker. Like, that's my main MO. But let's see what I wrote as my daily affirmation.
Sounds good.
Okay. Oh, my God. These are hilarious. I can't read these. Okay. I am a fun, kind, good volleyball player who is battling daily demons with grace.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was my daily affirmation that day. So
I love that, because it's like positive. So it's like self-compliment. And then, like, I'm struggling with this, but I'm doing it with grace. So
yeah, like, and that's something I've been working on, is like giving myself grace. Well, okay. Grace, like grace, but also like giving myself grace and compassion, you know, dealing with whatever you're dealing with, I think is like a huge theme in the mental health movement. If we want to segue there, I think really, really, really hard to do is give yourself compassion and like give yourself grace when you're feeling like absolute crap or whatever. So that is a daily struggle.
Yeah, I definitely feel that 1000%. Okay, so next question, what challenges have you faced off of the court as a person?
I don't talk about this a lot publicly, but I know, you know, we have talked about sharing it, but yeah, I have OCD, and I it doesn't always manifest itself in like really standard ways. Like, a lot of my stuff isn't like physical compulsions, like hand washing and stuff, you know, that's like the textbook OCD. But yeah, that's one of like my biggest struggles as a human, is just, I've been diagnosed with OCD, and I get very obsessive. And so a lot of my thinking and thoughts go down these like really obsessive dark routes really quickly. And I think so many people struggle with that, right? Like anxiety and just like, yeah, going immediately to the worst possible route. And the worst part is like most of the time we don't even know we're doing it. And we're like so in our own head, you know, we've got nowhere to go but in here. And so I think, yeah, that's something I struggle with on a daily basis. A friend taught me this thing. It's like the 3 C's. You catch the thought, you congratulate it, and then you carry on. So you kind of just bad thought, negative, catastrophic thinking. Got it. Awesome, it's there. Okay, cool. I'm gonna keep going as much as I can. So I try to do that. Hard.
It's hard. It's definitely hard to detach yourself from your emotions and like your thinking. That's something I've struggled with too. And I can't imagine struggling with that, let alone a person, but like also as an athlete. And like an athlete who is like at the level you're at. I mean, how long have you struggled with OCD?
Basically my whole life. Yeah. I mean, I think it's genetic. I was born with it. I was an anxious little kid. I mean, I had an amazing childhood and I was raised in a really supportive, healthy home, but I was always super anxious, and, you know, little things affected me, I think, more than your average kid. But yeah, I think as you mature, and like, I noticed when I left home and went to college, that was like huge transition for me. And I think that's when a lot of my symptoms spiked, and, you know, living abroad has presented a lot of challenges and triggers. So yeah, it's been a lifelong thing, but I don't know. I've been diagnosed for maybe like 6 years or so.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to, I mean, how has it impacted your personal life, if anything?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, everyone has everyone has things they're struggling with. You know, struggle is the constant. No one can be without it in life. Pain is always going to be there. But I think that with OCD, sometimes these things that are normal, you know, gripes of life and, you know, challenges become really overblown for me. And again, most of the time I didn't even have the recognition that I was in that space, but it would get really dark really quick. And I would just be in this headspace. I call it like my fog, where it's just like, I can't see past it. And it's clouding everything. So like, and it's super situational, like whatever I'm maybe going through in life at that moment, or a relationship issue, or a, you know, just a life issue, or a fear about the future, you know, things that are super, super normal, I think with OCD get, you know, just way inflated and become, I mean, there has been times where one idea will haunt me every moment of every day. I mean, truthfully, there's things that I've thought about every moment of every single day, and it's obviously very paralyzing. And it's, I think the biggest thing I've realized is that it takes me away from things that do truly matter. So I think, like, you know, I've been very fixated at times at like, of my body image, and you know, it becomes something that I'm so fixated on, I'm so concerned with what I'm eating, whatever, and that I'm then drawn away from the present moment, and I'm not present with, like, you know, my mom, who's my best friend and biggest supporter, or, you know, some of my best friends. It's like, that is one of the saddest things about it for me, is that it's bringing me away from these things that are truly rich and satisfying, but I think sometimes I'm directed the wrong way, right? That really, in the scheme of life, are so, so menial. So anyway, yeah, that's been the biggest challenge.
Staying in the present, yeah. So, and this kind of, what you just said kind of ties into our next topic, which is just seeking help and how that's, you know, helped you. I want to ask you, Karsta, what ultimately drove you to seek professional help and go to therapy?
Yeah, huge question. I guess for one, like, I have amazing friends. It was mostly like, yeah, my support community, like my mom and friends were seeing that things were affecting me a little more than maybe they needed to, right? And so funny, like, I joke about this, but my mom, like, urged me to go to therapy, not really knowing why she was. And then, you know, within, like, two sessions, this psychologist is like, oh, yeah, like, so you have, like, textbook OCD. And I was like, what? No. And so, yeah, I think it was mainly, you know, the people around me. And I feel really, really grateful that I have that, had that. And, you know, I feel for the people where they don't have these really healthy, supportive relationships. You know, I have these amazing friends and family who urged me to. And so I think it can be really, really daunting and difficult to think about it. And, you know, there's shame attached to it too. You know, it used to be this idea that it meant it was a hit on your ego, you know, that you had to go speak to someone professional. But I think, honestly, it's a lot of the time the harder thing to do. And again, another misconception, I think, is that it's self-indulgent and, you know, that it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's a sign of weakness. And I think that's so silly, because it takes so much, like, profound, difficult work to work on yourself and to really, like, turn in and reflect and be like, what am I doing in life? Like, how am I moving about the world, and how could I make it better? And, like, that is so hard and honestly, like, not fun. Like, yeah. I like talking about myself, but, you know, working on yourself and, like, realizing where, you know, having self-awareness of what you could be doing better is really, really difficult. So long-winded answer to how I found therapy.
That makes sense. And you touched on a lot of different topics. And I think when it comes to mental health, especially for athletes, like, you know, we take care of our bodies with the utmost, like, prioritization, you know, like, yeah. Everything put into our bodies, like, from our training staff to ice bait, I mean, you name it, we'll go above and beyond to stay in, like, tip-top physical condition. But if we're struggling internally or mentally, we won't always, you know, seek help for that. So why is that? Going to the trainer for a sprained ankle, for example, is considered responsible and, like, doing the right thing, but then going to seek counseling or therapy for anxiety or depression or OCD is seen in, you know, as, like, weak or self-indulgent. In reality, you know, taking care of your mental health, it means that you're a responsible person. It means that you're looking out for yourself and increasing your longevity realistically. So I love everything you just said. And I have another question.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you share a couple of tangible examples of how therapy, going to therapy, benefited your personal and athletic life?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, like, when I think about helping myself, I think about my relationships. And so I think that therapy has helped my relationships in a lot of ways. I think that they're kind of there to, like, point out some things that you may not have noticed on your own. I think that can really ameliorate relationships where it's like, you know, I had no idea that I was doing this thing, and now I know, and now I know how to approach this conversation with my mom or my friend or my boyfriend or whatever. And so that's a huge thing. And then day-to-day, like, life satisfaction, I think, can be super helped in therapy. They point out maybe what's working and what's not working, what you might not be able to see on your own. And then I think just, like, on the court, it I think as a player, I play my best, and I think a lot of people, you know, live in this space where you do your best work when you're really present in the work you're doing. And if I can't be present on the court, I am not going to play as well. And so, you know, being able to shelf some of these off the court issues and, you know, be really present as a player and get the most I can out of practice is invaluable as a player. And I think for anyone doing any sort of work, it's really, really valuable that, you know, how can I be really present and be the most efficient and, you know, and then get my workout and be done and not just let, like, external factors linger and stick around when they really don't need to. So
yeah, and waste time.
exactly. Yeah.
I love that. What has living with OCD taught you about yourself, and how has it made you stronger?
You know, it's brought a lot to light. I think when you have a diagnosis like that, it's just like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense, you know? And then you can, like, Google stuff, and it's like, there's 1 in 100 other people having the same exact experience. And so I think it's very liberating to normalize it, you know? And I think that goes hand in hand with any mental illness, any issue. It's like, you know, the moment you can normalize it and realize that it's really not as scary as your own head is making it, that was really, really huge for me. And, you know, you can literally read these symptoms online. It's like, oh my gosh, that's me, you know, how they know me. And so that's really huge. And I think, you know, I work on this with my therapist, is changing the relationship with my OCD. And, you know, it used to be, I have a lot of frustration towards it. It prevents me from going places I need to go. But I think, like, being realistic about what it does in my life and how it affects me is hugely helpful, you know? And then once I know it, I can come up with tools, you know, to work on it. So this was the hand I was dealt, and I'm still, I think I've had moments of pride where I think, you know, I am doing a lot with my life, even with, you know, a textbook illness. And so I think that could be really encouraging and, you know, helpful for people is that, and I think a message that we touched on before is that you can have so much success even with, you know, a mental health affliction. And so many people have it, you know, especially now. People are truly struggling. And I think there really are still these moments of productivity among, you know, struggle. And I think that can be hugely encouraging, you know, just to know, oh my gosh, I can still get so much done or do so much even with this.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So good. Makes you stronger because you've overcome things with this huge obstacle in front of you. If anything, you know, how could you not feel even more proud of yourself, even more liberated?
Yeah, for sure.
So there's only three questions left. The first one, if you could go back in time, what mental health related advice would you give to your younger self?
I would tell myself, you know, that it's temporary. I think another huge theme in the mental health sphere is like acknowledging that something is temporary. And I think, you know, when I was young, I, like, for example, like, I'm really tall, I'm 6'4", and I had a summer growing up where I was like obsessed over how tall I was. And I was really, really discouraged by it. I mean, truthfully, it was like a very, very difficult summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could tell that Karsta, you know, I think I was 16, maybe, you know, like,
yeah,
it is so temporary. And you are not going to think about it every moment for the rest of your life. And I think I had that fear in those moments. I still have to remind myself, you know, when I'm upset over something, like, yo, this is temporary and you are not going to think this way for your, you know, all your days on this earth. Like, I think that would have been really helpful and still can be helpful today for me.
Yeah, I love that. What advice would you give to another athlete who might be struggling with OCD or another mental health condition?
Yeah, I think it's really important to recognize it. You know, I think that's a huge first step for any person, for an athlete, because if you don't have acknowledgement of it, there's really, like, you're not really going anywhere. You're just going to tread water for a long time. And I think having awareness and asking yourself, like having those conversations with yourself of, am I as satisfied with my life as I could be? Or do I have to be this anxious when I go onto the court? Do I have to be this anxious when I go to sleep? Or like whatever it is, you know, I think it's really important just to have self-awareness. And it's really hard, you know, and it's scary the places our brain can go without our consent, you know. And so I think that would be my biggest piece of advice, is just get some real awareness and education around your own thoughts, and whether that's journaling or speaking to someone or whatever. I think detangling some of the mess that's up there is a huge first step.
Yeah, definitely. Last question. Why is sharing your story so important to you?
Yeah, so I think sharing my story is, first of all, I mean, it's therapeutic for me. I like, it's good to talk about it, you know, it feels good for me to talk about. But more than that, obviously, I think it's a very, you know, it's a, I guess, proud moment for me to share and know that maybe one person heard one thing I had to say tonight. I just, you know, I have been touched by people who have spoken publicly about issues they're going through. And I think if I can do that for one young girl in Illinois, you know, it's like, then it was all worth it. Because one of my things, I've been pretty good about being vulnerable. I don't really have an issue. I mean, I've been burned, but letting yourself be vulnerable and knowing that maybe it could help someone is it's a good feeling. And more than that, I mean, I think it's just kind of like almost a duty, you know, if I'm going to go through all of this, like, goodness, I hope I could help someone else, you know, because I kind of think we're here just to help each other. And if I can do that, that adds a lot of richness to my life. And I hope to someone else's.
Yeah, I think a lot of people share that mindset. So happy that you were here sharing your story with us today. And if you're worried about reaching one person, you definitely reached me. So 40 or I don't even know how many people were here for the entire time. So thank you, Karsta. That was so insightful, so well said. And I really appreciated that. And I know our community does too. So.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thanks for having me and letting me share my story. I think, you know, you're creating an amazing platform and I'm super excited for where you're going. I think it's such a hot topic right now and there's such a space for it. And I'm so eager for the conversation. So thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, I look forward to watching you on TV and following your road to Tokyo. Fingers crossed that happens.
Either way, tune in. Oh my God, I just hit my hands. Either way, tune in and root for Team USA. We're going to go for the gold. So.
Sounds good. Where can we find your Athletes Unlimited schedule?
So it's online. I'm going to be trying to post more when we do have matches, but it's online, Athletes Unlimited, just type it in and then you can go down to schedule. And then I don't know if they've released the broadcast schedule, but it's coming out soon. And yeah, it's, I think our first match is February 27th.
Oh, great. That is next Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Karsta. I hope that you have an excellent time. And yeah, I will save this so that you can watch back on it later.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Sleep well and good luck in practice for the rest of the week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Karsta.